It's time for Lincoln County Connections on KNPT, KWDP, and KBCH. Here's your host, Casey Miller.
Good morning. Welcome to Lincoln County Connections. I'm Casey Miller, Lincoln County's Public Information Officer. It's a pleasure to have you joining us today. If you're coming to us on KWDP Walport, maybe KBCH, Lincoln City, or in Newport, KNPT, we have countywide coverage. We really appreciate the opportunity to bring programs to you Thursday every morning at 9. And on with us this morning is Todd Williver. He's the 4-H Program Manager, OSU Extension. Good morning.
Good morning, Casey. Thank you.
Well, you know, Todd, I have seen you around for a little while now, but of course, most recently, you and Extension have decided to take charge of the fair, so that's very exciting.
Yeah, exciting for us as well.
It's just so great to see you coming into these Board of Commissioner meetings and the Fair Board meetings, talking about this new vision, and I think we could get into that, but I'm really fascinated, too, to really talk about, what you're doing on a 4-H level, and it's just fascinating me. I told you last night I kind of started to do my research, sat down, and was really impressed about the heritage of 4-H, and I just wanted to talk about you and what's inspired you into the kind of work you do.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic, and probably like a lot of people, my journey, my road into it is sort of circuitous. I lived in Central Oregon most of my life. I wasn't born there, but grew up there and lived there for a number of years. And my 4-H career really started in early 2000s. I wanted to do a technology program and OSU was offering a job called the Bitmobile. It was a mobile technology lab, a 25-foot Wells Cargo-type trailer with a satellite internet dish, laptop workstations, digital cameras, GPS units. And the intent, the intent was just outreach teaching, trying to bring technology to rural Oregon. People that hadn't used GPS or didn't understand the ramifications of being able to use GPS on their farm. One of the first and very fun projects we did was mapping salt licks on a farmer's 10,000 acres. He wanted to better position these salt licks on his property, and there were so many little gullies and valleys and areas that you couldn't get to, and he'd been throwing these salt licks out on the farm in kind of where he thought were strategic locations. But as we put them on the GPS map, we realized that many of these, if you were a deer or if you were a cow, were just over the hill from one another. Where in order for him to drop them, he had to go a mile around the hill, and didn't realize that they were really positioned quite close together. And by using GPS, he could map this and do it much more efficiently. So a lot of just outreach technology, which is really the premise behind the whole Extension service, is to provide that outreach education to rural Oregon, to Oregonians that can't necessarily come to the Oregon State University campus for education. And that's what makes Extension such a fabulous program, is our interaction with the land-grant university and providing that education in every single county in the state of Oregon.
Well, some thoughts about how you've evolved with the program from those early days of Extension. How have things changed? Is it seeing the technology emphasis change? My parents are, or I am, I've grown up as a vineyard farmer. Damn. And really, especially in the last 10 years, technology really comes in, digital technology and measuring soil and all kinds of technologies that they use. Is this what's changed about agriculture to bring that into the
There's no doubt. So 4-H is 112 years old this year. Our roots are from 1902, and obviously our roots are very much animals and agriculture. And over the years, you can imagine in a 100-year history, things do change. And so 4-H has really evolved with the times. We recognize that our roots in animals and agriculture are still very, very strong, but we also know that we need to meet the youth in project areas that they're interested in. And not everybody can raise a steer in their backyard or a pig in their backyard or, you know, have an acre of corn to grow. So we do many, many other project areas to interest the kids. And a lot of those are technology driven now. We're heavily vested in the U.S. first Lego robotics program, the MATE ROV program, underwater ROV program, a lot of that technology stuff. In fact, I just got a great grant from the National 4-H Center to provide a club called Tech Wizards. It started here in Oregon, started in Washington County. It's expanded nationally. And this year I was written into the grant, and we're gonna provide technology education for 60 4-H youth across the county this coming year. So I don't know exactly what that's going to look like. I'm going to kind of let the youth steer that club, but whether they want to learn app development or coding or GPS, digital photography, wherever their interest lies is where we'll go with that club.
Okay, you're talking to Todd Williver, and he is 4-H Youth Development. He's a program coordinator for OSU Extension. We'll be back in just a moment. More exciting information coming. Welcome back to Connections. We're talking to Todd Williver. He is OSU Extension's 4-H Program Director. Todd, could we talk just briefly about how 4-H allows these kids to grow? I found that so fascinating looking at the history where they had identified, you know, back in 1900 that kids needed this opportunity to really flourish. Mm-hmm. And wow, over 100 years later, you're going strong.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So we are a youth development organization. That's really what sets us apart from an organization that's an activity provider. And because of our tie-in with the land-grant university system and cooperative extension service, we're all research-based. So we have tons and tons of good science, good data, good research out there that sort of guide the principles behind what we do. In youth development, we know that it's important to get youth voice involved in what we're doing. And so when I mentioned that the Tech Wizards program will be partially driven by the kids with their interest, that's part of what we do. Is we want them to have input into the project area and the programming that they're going to be involved with. And we know that too often today in traditional education, we're losing the ability to do that. Some of those a lot of those critical thinking skills, some of those life skills that we know are so important. We're losing the ability to teach those when we don't have some of the kind of extracurricular education like wood shop or metal shop or auto shop or, you know, some of those things that are experiential learning. If you only have to hit your hand with a hit your thumb with a hammer one time to realize it hurts.
Or not auto shop and wood shop typical anymore?
No, I don't know that they're not typical, but I think they're waning. I think we're losing, as we focus more on core curricula, I think we're losing those sorts of things. I think if you look around the state and around the nation, the number of metal shops that we have or welding, teaching welding, are really dwindling. We're really losing those in our school systems.
Yeah. So you really embrace this quality, and kids have just a tremendous potential when they're cut loose.
Exactly. Learn by doing is our national slogan and what we really adhere to. We want those kids to be out there and experiencing what we're learning, not just learning it from a book or from somebody lecturing to them.
So you've got that grant coming. It's really going to thrust you guys in some of these technological aspects. Talk about some of maybe the other things that you're doing.
Yeah, so obviously our roots are in animals and agriculture. We have a strong animal science program. Everything from small animals, rabbits, chickens, cavies, which are guinea pigs for people that don't know the mm-hmm. terminology. Larger animals, sheep, goats, swine. I mentioned steers, cattle, and horses as well. Those are really sort of our roots. Of course, we've got a strong home economics base as well, doing things. with sewing and needlecraft, painting and that sort of thing. A lot of fine arts, digital photography. One of the things that's fun about I didn't mention, but I will now. There are 6.5 million 4-H youth involved across the nation in 4-H. Every single state, most of the counties, I think at last count something like 3,200 counties are involved in 4-H. So we really have the ability to develop a 4-H project area around any interest. If you want to volunteer and want to teach youth about your special skill, something that you find interesting that you think you'd like to pass on to today's youth, we want to hear from you. Even if it's not a curriculum that we have, I bet we can find one somewhere around the nation to replicate, or we'll take the time to make curriculum around it. There are just so many interesting project areas.
So you do have volunteer needs.
Yeah, so we're volunteer based. Okay. The whole 4-H program runs on volunteers that are interested in teaching those skills, those project areas to youth, and where we're maybe not trying to, you know, teach a kid to raise cattle as a career. We're using that project area to teach the important life skills of being responsible and tending to the animals correctly and the money management that goes behind it, all of that sort of thing. So we use that project area to teach life skills. It's the life skills development that we really want to be that long-term outcome from the program.
For parents who are listening, is there any kind of cyclical nature to the length of your programs and how to bring your kids into the program?
Yeah, so the 4-H year runs October 1st through September 30th. It usually culminates with the county fair and then the state fair, but that's generally the 4-H year. We'll take youth at any point through the year when they want to come in. There are certain requirements if they want to compete in the county fair or if they want to sell an animal at the livestock auction. There are deadline dates that they have to comply with. But we know from the research that kids are more involved and we do better youth development if they're involved in a year-round club project. We don't want it to be just come 2 months before fair, participate in fair, and we don't see you again for 8 months. We like them to be year-round programs. We generally take a little time off through the holidays, and there's usually a little decompression period after fair when things are so hectic after we've ramped up for fair. But yeah, generally a sort of a year-round program. We can tailor the program around a volunteer schedule, very flexible on how we put that together. And we'd love to hear from people that want to be actively engaged in teaching our youth today.
Well, it's going to be a good segue when we come back from the break to talk about the Lincoln County Fair. You're listening to Todd Williver, 4-H Youth Program Director or Program Manager. We'll be back in just a moment.
Lincoln County Connections is back on KNPT, KBCH, and KWDP.
Welcome back to Lincoln County Connections, talking to Todd Williver, 4-H Youth Development. So let's talk about that Lincoln County Fair. What is going on here?
Well, let's start by giving a big thank you to Town and Country Fair Association, who has operated our fair for the last, I think, 5 years. Before my time here, the fair and the fairgrounds was in a little bit of turmoil. It's no secret that fair participation is tough these days. Fairs are changing, the dynamic is changing, and money's tight. Let's face it. Since the recession, it's really hard to fund those sorts of things. And so when the county was struggling a little bit, Town and Country stepped up and said, "We'll do it." And for 5 years, they've managed a fair, and we very, very much appreciate what they've done. That said, this year they decided it just wasn't worth it for them anymore, and put the county on notice that they weren't going to do it for 2015, which left a huge void. And obviously, 4-H is heavily vested in fair. Arguably the single largest tenant at the fairgrounds, not only do we use it during county fair with all of our animal exhibits and shows going on, but we also through the year use the fairgrounds for our educational activities. Right. So it really just made sense for us to find a way to keep that going. And so when we realized that Town and Country was not going to do it, we started talking about the possibilities and how it might be that we step up and do it. And it has come together actually with a Fair Board meeting yesterday where they finally gave the endorsement and said, yeah, let's run with it. Let's see how this works. So it's really the same relationship that the Fair Board had with Town and Country, except now the relationship is with the Extension Service, with Oregon State University Extension Service and 4-H Youth Development rather than Town and Country.
You know, when I've seen you talk about the innovation in terms of the fair reflecting this broad interest of the community, it seems to me a lot like 4-H too embraced that as it changed over its history. So the two concepts mm-hmm. seem very similar.
I think that's correct. We're people. We're in the business of serving people. Extension, whether you're talking about the Sea Grant program or the Food and Nutrition program or the Family and Community Health program, the Master Gardener program, we do people. That's what our job is. And if we're not receptive to the needs of the people, we're not doing our job. We're not able to do that job effectively. And I see the fair as sort of the same thing. I want the new vision to the tagline I've been using is celebrate Lincoln County, celebrate the good stuff that we have going on here.
Yeah.
Where the traditional roots of a county fair are sort of in the kind of agriculture, the end of the harvest season, the animals are off to market. Let's get together and have a barn dance and celebrate. Lincoln County is a little different in that regard. We're not a huge agricultural base, and if we mm-hmm. are, it's marine ag. You know, it's harvest from fishing and crabbing, the shellfish industry, and so it's a little different harvest that we have to celebrate. But that doesn't in any way mean that we shouldn't celebrate and that we don't do really, really good stuff here in Lincoln County. So my hope is that we can find a way to include all of that really good stuff that we have to celebrate here and make it a truly community event that gives a little ownership back to the residents of Lincoln County and celebrates what they think is great about what's going on here.
Yeah. You know, one of the ideas that you had, and I know this is just a hypothetical that you were just kind of throwing things out there, but was having the farmers market at the fair on that weekend. Wow. What a just a simple, great idea if they were willing to go for it.
I've started some email conversations. I've got nothing yet to report on that. But that's one of my thoughts is let's get all the really good stuff that we do involved at the fair that day. We shouldn't be fragmenting the population and making them choose where they want to go. I want to make it open to everybody. I want vendors to be able to come in there without breaking the bank and have exposure to all of the people. And I want people to feel like it's their event, to be free to come and go and mingle and just see the
Sounds
really
great.
Good stuff we do, whether it's local music or local artisans showing their wares, local food producers and farmers market, all of that stuff I want on that fairgrounds that weekend in July.
Yeah, you know, this has kind of been obviously an ongoing thing to continue and try to make this event viable. And since I've been at the county, I've seen these changes and this effort to try and get it right. And one of the things I had done was purchased a video about World's Fairs and really found that what you're saying sort of embodies that original kind of idea too, about all the different types of things that happen. So I think it's going in the right direction.
I appreciate that.
So as far as upcoming ways in which we can get people involved as your 4-H program, where would we start in terms of finding the contact information? Do we just Google?
Yeah, so the easy way is just to simply Google Lincoln County 4-H or Lincoln County Extension Service. If you do that, be sure that you look at the Oregon one because there are Lincoln County Extension Services across the nation, as you can imagine, with all the counties that are named after President Lincoln. But mm-hmm. but Lincoln County Extension Service Oregon will give you our homepage. That'll give you contact information, including my phone number, my email address is on there. We need an army of volunteers. We're putting together committees to serve different purposes within the fair structure. Mm-hmm. That we will find a home for you if you've got a passion to help out with the with this new vision of the Lincoln County Fair. We want you involved. So give me a shout. Let's get you on the list. We'll fit you into a group that needs some help that fits your interest and. and you'll be able to be an integral part of what we're trying to accomplish here.
Well, thank you, Todd Williver, and thank you for listening to us today. We'll see you same time, same place on Lincoln County Connections. Have a great day out there. Enjoy the sun.